Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. Today we have, a bit of complicated news, a bit of interesting news, but first I'd like to speak about Mariupol, because recently one of my news channels, and only one, posted that Mariupol has fallen and that the Russians have hoisted their own flag on top of the administration building. This was also retweeted by MartyrMaid, who apparently also watches the counterintelligence team tweets. However, I haven't yet heard any major Russian news outlets, and I'm not even looking at Ukrainian ones, I'm looking at the Russian ones, who would confirm this information. Besides, well, I highly doubt that, there actually is an administration building left standing in Mariupol upon whom such a flag could be hoisted. So, you know, this is probably some fighting for some city districts. Mariupol has been surrounded, and Zelensky states that without some aid in tanks and airplanes, it won't be easy to break the siege. But the city is basically leveled, so I don't know what's going on here. The thing is that Mariupol serves as a kind of one of the routes where if Russia actually breaks through and then moves onward, then they could cut off and encircle all the Donetsk, Lugansk Ukrainian soldiers, which would be bad. But I still want to have more confirmation about this actually happening. But there are such rumors. I just don't know how the situation could have drastically changed from yesterday. But so maybe this is disinfo, but it doesn't seem to be that valid at this point in time. At the same time, Russian Roskomnadzor, or Russian Roskomnadzor, Roskomnadzor is the common term used for this in Russian media, have now declared Alexander Nevzorov, one of my journalism mentors, as an extremist and blocked its site. However, I still follow him on Telegram, and as Nevzorov is in Israel right now, yeah, I highly doubt that anyone will really, you know, take him down that much. And I mention him currently because he posted a really kind of funny comment about the situation there, since the Ukrainian army, their chief intelligence, declared that the Russian Federation army tries to restore their losses by taking the reserves, you know, the mothballed tanks back in order, you know, the older tanks from late Soviet era and stuff. However, the situation with the tanks is really, really awful because basically the optics and electronics that were inside these tanks for aiming and various measurement devices and everything that contained some rare earth metals and other valuables, yeah, that has been stolen completely, looted. And apparently in the 4th Tank Division of Russian Federation, they found out that out of the 10 unmothballed, you know, tanks that were put back in order, only one was found to be in working order. And we've heard reports about one of these commanders, actually, you know, who was responsible for the mothballing, shooting himself because, well, everything's been stolen. And I believe that everything's been stolen, but these news smelled weird to me. So I'm gonna quote Nevzorov on this. Quote: "No, well, this is a clear fake. Where could they have taken this one tank that wasn't completely looted? Out of where? Martians gave it to them. In this so-called mothballing, there cannot be any working tanks. Everything's been looted. Basically, the easily removable and just as easily breakable parts with valuables in these tanks basically costs starting from 300,000 to 3 million rubles. Between the soldiers and officers of Russian Federation, there are no idiots. They excellently know how much each part of the tanks that have been entrusted to them is basically costing." So that's an important thing, since really, if you had been listening to my show, you know that all this country is based on corruption, not vice versa, but like I mentioned yesterday, I simply couldn't imagine the levels of corruption. But about the battlefield losses, once again, we come to the mobilization efforts. I received a voicemail today that warned me about this, Yesterday, my best enemy Igor Girkin spoke about this on an interview for a Russian opposition channel. The part of Russian opposition that hates Putin for him being too peaceful and not warmongering enough. Just a reminder, those people exist. So I take info from those kind of people. And what happened was that he stated that without mobilization, Russia will lose this war. And there have been claims about the fact that Putin might do this. For one, Ukrainian news posted an image of a 25th of March, kind of a letter sent to the kind of these places where the conscripts are about to go, you know, the mobilization centers. And this letter claims that they have to report by April 11th the number of conscripts which would probably be available for deployment to this so-called special operation. The letter also states that this is to fulfill the decision of the chief of the general staff to deploy these new conscripts that will be called in spring to the special operation in order to maintain the combat readiness and maintain, basically, pack up the losses. So the standard draft just won't work here. And I've heard a lot of news about how, together with the draft, we might actually see that that mobilization pops up, which would be pretty terrible since, well, again, mobilization is considered to be political suicide for Putin. However, well, maybe, you know, if he's pushed and he's gathering everything that's happening, maybe he has no other choice. And this seems very realistic since, well, he has to figure out how to win somehow. From other news, Shoigu has still not been seen anywhere, and the one video where he appeared seems to be recorded. Meanwhile, his deputy, one Yevkurov, is going around to Russian hospitals, and we got a video, which I posted on Twitter about an hour ago, where he stated that he was giving an award to a Russian Yefreitor. That's kind of like a step between the soldier and a sergeant, basically, who had lost a leg. He visited the soldier and he wished him, get healthy and get back on your feet. Or in Russian, vyzdorovich i vstat na nogi. And this was tweeted by Maxim Kotz, and I retweeted this, and this kind of shows this attitude. I mean, there is no too soon levels, or there is no kind of empathy to these people, and this is quite crazy. At the same time, Russia apparently has again attacked nuclear research reactor in Kharkiv, and my sources report that it's currently impossible to estimate the extent of damage, but the reactor has been attacked. And once again, by the way, this made me think about their own violence and their own actions and the whole denazifying thing since, well, in Moscow, a protester was arrested and fined 50,000 rubles for what the prosecutors say were discrediting the Russian army. Now, the thing is, she was holding a poster with a Russian anti-fascist slogan, Fascism не пройдет, or Fascism won't go through. Basically, we won't stand for fascism. And this made me think that, you know, I can kind of believe Nevzorov. I mean, the Russian cops must be really smart. They know who the real Nazis here are, and that makes me wonder, how is the denazification going? At the same time, again, another picture was that in Novosibirsk, on a really old trolley bus, whose doors were fixed with wooden planks, they still plastered the Z, their modern-day neo swastika, on the window. And there was this nice comment that that Russian imperial ambitions meet reality on the trolleybus doors. Doors are broken, so get fixed with planks. But money for new ones is long stolen, and more will never come. But the neo swastika, the Z, that has been, you know, designed in American Photoshop and printed using a Japanese printer, using an American-built computer, on European piece of paper, yeah, they take great pride in this, which is just kind of crazy. And how do you respond to this? Well, Ukrainians have also created interesting anti-tobacco warnings, since we have to have them on the packages. And this one states, "Kidaj palici, pomresh i ne pobachish, jak zdohne Putin." or basically it says, quit smoking, you'll expire or die, and you won't even notice, you won't be able to see how Putin dies. Well, zdokhnit is a term used to describe how animals expire and fall down and everything, so that's a bit of a thing. And finally, yesterday I was watching a three-hour stream of Navalny's team, you know, the liberal Russian opposition activist whose team has basically all moved abroad and have been declared extremists, and I don't know, maybe some of them live in Lithuania now, some of them live in Poland, all over the place. And it made me think, since, well, they kind of blame themselves for this crisis in the sense that they hadn't pushed the West to do more before this. And recently, you know, I've been, you know, saying some not so pleasant things about the United States, but I'm definitely not among the people who blame the United States for all this situation. And here's my response to everyone who is still claiming that, oh no, United States provoked Russia. No. I believe it's the other way around. Navalny's team yesterday stated that this could have been prevented if the United States had listened to Navalny's team earlier and faster and put the sanctions, these brutal sanctions, on the oligarchs with their stolen money just before this happened in 2014, 2015 even. During all these times when Skripal was poisoned by Novichok, you know, and not like people didn't know that all this London Square, like Moskovgrad, as I think, no, Londongrad, sorry, how it's called, you know, not like anyone didn't know that it had all this oligarch money. You know, they claim that what United States and Europe can take responsibility of is the fact that they should have put harsher sanctions on oligarchs previously, and that would lead to a better odds of a new palace coup, maybe. Now, I'm not exactly 100% sure, but I believe that, yes, those preventive sanctions could have done something, like at least. Then again, if you think about it, it might have prevented the war, but I think Putin would just prepare for it a bit better, maybe. I don't know. But that's one of the things that they say there, where about which the United States could take responsibility for. Another thing is that, apparently Politico just now posted what we mentioned here yesterday about the Russian troops killing one of their own commanders. So, at least that's good professionalism from me if I'm faster than Politico. So that's nice. But finally, to all these arguers and everything that still claim that Ukraine is just, you know, they had been bombing Donetsk for 8 years and everything. Well, if we believe the Russian propaganda, which I clearly don't, but if we believe them, then turns out that Ukraine has bombed Donetsk for 8 years, using bioweapons, no less, and they've been doing this with the help of the West and the United States of America. So, you know, if any of this were true, and if we look at how competent the Ukrainian soldiers and everyone has been, then if this were in any way true, even just partially true, right, then Donetsk would be just a wasteland, a desert. Nothing would have remained from Donetsk. Then I have to state that if Ukrainians actually bombed it, then they did the biggest blunder in history, because they were just like slacking off. And if you look at the data of how many people were like dying in these border skirmishes over there, it was like, what, it was 21 or something, 22 in the whole year of 2021. And there was fire from Donbas side as well. So I wouldn't count on it. But here's some arguments that you can use to explain the situation to people. Again, the front's calcifying, but I'm looking for more updates. I really want to find out what's going on with the Mariupol situation here. But, well, we'll get to all this soon. So that's it for today. До свидания, товарищи. Happiness is mandatory. Information is ammunition. And if you can, please support the show on theeasternborder.lv. Click the donate button there. Or become our patron at patreon.com/theeasternborder. Thank you to the patrons who are supporting this show. I really hope to get back to normal programming one day. And support Ukraine. Stand with Ukraine. Don't fall for disinformation. And donate to Ukrainian charities. I thank you immensely. До свидания, товарищи.